The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a pleasure to gather with you today for confirmation. After 2 years of meeting and study and praying, you have found yourselves here at this day. In a few moments, you will stand here. You will confess the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You will confess your allegiance to the gospel of Christ. And you will confess your desire to live in the Word of God. It hasn't always been an easy process, I know. You've had to make choices. Do I go to volleyball today, or do I go to confirmation? Do I go fishing today, or do I go to confirmation? Do I mow the grass today, or do I go to confirmation? Do I clean up my room today, or do I go to confirmation? Thank you for choosing confirmation. When I was in confirmation decades ago, the pastor used to call us up on Sunday mornings randomly. And he'd say, Sheldon, what is the second petition of the Lord's Prayer? And I'd have to answer. And then he'd call up Calvin or Susan or Juanita and ask them questions. Failure was not an option. Today I'll ask you a question. Pastor, priest, bishop, cardinal, pope, or parent. According to Martin Luther, which is the highest calling of a Christian? What do you think? Not a pastor. What do you think? A parent. A parent is the highest calling of a Christian. It is nice that we celebrate Mother's Day today. Because we are called to recognize that none of us are here on their own. All of us have been supported. All of us have been loved. We have been encouraged. At times, maybe we have been corrected. But nevertheless, we celebrate the gifts of parents. We celebrate the gifts of friends. We celebrate the gifts of family today. We celebrate the gifts of baptismal sponsors today, of uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, people that have walked with you, people that love you, people that pray for you, are here today as you stand before them. You do not stand alone, but together we stand united. We are called to stand united in love. We are called to stand united in support. We are called to stand united in fidelity, in designing a hope for the future with one another, a future that sees us grow in service and support and thanksgiving and opportunities to pray and love and share with one another. But we know that life doesn't often look like that. We know that our lives are not often filled with love. Our lives are not often filled with joy. Our lives are not often filled with friendship, support, fellowship, or hope. We know this instinctively. We know that not every day greets us with a smile. Not every opportunity is fully perfected. Not every friendship appears to be beneficial. Not every conversation we have builds us up. Sometimes they tear us down. Some relationships leave us scratching our heads. Some leave us wanting more. Today in our gospel reading, we are reminded that as we move forward, as you move forward here, you are called to build up that which supports love. You are called to build up that which supports joy and friendship and service and peace and hope and love. But you are also called to prune that from your lives, to cut it away, to cast it off, whatever it may be, that which works to tear you down instead of build you up. External things. Relationships. Relationships that seem unhealthy. Friendships that cause us to lead lives that we don't want to leave. And internal things as well. Pride and envy and jealousy and greed. These things that gnaw at us. We are called to cast them away as well. And in the process, when we move away from these things, love has an opportunity to grow. Taking the weeds out of the garden so the fruit can flourish. Pruning the tree so it can bear better apples. Looking at our lives and seeing what opportunities we have to move forward and support that which is growing, that which is positive, and that which has been given to us by God. This is a big day for you. You might not recognize it right now. You might think to yourself, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done meeting with the pastor on Saturdays. I'm done taking sermon notes. I'm done going to retreats. I'm done. I've graduated. I can move on with life. But take it from me. That's not what happens. You do not move on with life. You move on in faith. This is a stepping stone of a new relationship that you have. A new relationship that you have with God. A new relationship that you're called to have with the world. A new relationship that you are called into with the church. You're leaving the protection of the nest. Your parents have tried to prune the evil from your lives. They've tried to watch out for you. Whether we celebrate mothers today or fathers or uncles or aunts or grandparents, make no mistake about it. As a parent, I know this. We try and prune evil from your lives. We keep our eyes on you. Who are your friends? What are you watching? What music are you listening to? What things are you doing? Where are you spending your time? Are you doing your homework? Do you spend too much time on PlayStation? Are you eating vegetables? Or are you living on a diet of Coke and chips? We've been trying to prune the evil out of your lives. We've been trying to prune that which we know does not lead to health. That which will not lead to happiness. That will not lead to success in school. But you know what? It pains me to say it. At some point, we can no longer control. At some point, we no longer have any sway over who your friends are. At some point, we have no sway over what you eat. At some point, we have no sway over what you do. We will not be with you at 2 a.m. when you're in some dark basement on Friday night at a party and someone hands you something. That is a choice that you make. We will not be there when you're in the corner store and a friend says to you, hey, take this, no one's looking. That will be a choice that you make. Life will start offering you lots of choices. And whether you see them through the lens of faith, whether you recall this moment, your baptisms, the strength and support of those who have brought you there, make no mistake. These choices have repercussions. Knowingly or not, you will support things in your life. And the things that you support, the things that you water, the things that you tend, the things that you give your energy to, those are the things that will grow. So what things in your life will you support? What things in your life will you tend to? What things in your life will become important to you? Jealousy, envy, sexuality, anger. We can tend to these things. We can support them. We can build them up. We can make them the centerpiece of who we are. But ultimately, God will be removed. Because those things are a product of fear. And as we hear from St. Paul today, fear, not hate, is the opposite of love. But because we live lives that are lived in fear, what will my friends think of me? I better say yes to that which I know is wrong. Fear. I can't afford that, but I need it, so I'll feel it. Fear. Fear stops us from saying no. I don't agree with that. Fear stops us from saying no, I won't do that. Fear stops us from saying no, I don't accept that. And in the presence of fear, we don't have love, because fear turns our hearts inward. And when you are more fearful of what the world thinks of you than that which God has called you to, you're dying and you don't even realize it. Your relationships are dying. Your relationship with your family is dying. Your relationship with your friends is dying. Your relationship with creation is dying. Because you're only asking yourself, what can I take, what can I have, and what can I protect? Never, what can I give? What can I support, and what can I help? In a few moments when you come before this group, family and friends and parishioners, you are saying, I have no need for fear. I have God's Spirit. I have the gift of forgiveness. I have the gift of grace, and I have a knowledge of the future to come. And that's God's eternal plan for me. That is what's important. Not what my boyfriend thinks of me. Not what the girl I like thinks of me. Not what the guys in the football team, hockey team, volleyball team, racquetball team think of me. Because those thoughts are based in fear. But love says, how do I share what I have with others? Fear takes and love gives. As God has given to you, you are called to give to others. As God has given you peace and faith and love and hope and a sense of the future, you are called to give to others, to share that good news. This is the calling of parents, to give support, to give instruction, to give correction at times. They have brought you here. They have brought you here spiritually. They have brought you to the baptismal font. They have encouraged you in a life of prayer. They have encouraged you from seeing God at work in the world. They have encouraged you to help you choose the right from the wrong. They have encouraged you to be the people you are. And now you are called to be an encouragement to others. Amen.